Now, I know I've been talking about bugs underneath our skin, these little uninvited, unwelcome rascals that invade our privacy and just irritate us. And I'm saying just irritate us. Certainly some of them go far beyond just irritating us. But I want to let you know that we're still going to be talking about, well, something that may bring to mind this same topic that we just had, the same discussion, but from a different angle. You know, I talked a few days ago about the gut and whether or not we can trust it. Well, I'm going to be talking about the gut now, but from a different angle. Medical News Today is going to be talking about a connection that exists between our gut and our brain. So let me give you this heads up. When I talk about the gut this time, I'm not really talking about it from the perspective of a hunch. I'm talking about the actual physical belly now. I think you're going to find this interesting too, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you, we are truly fearfully and wonderfully made. The human body is just amazing, literally, from head to toe. Check this out. There's a new study published in the journal Science that has found that the process through which our gut communicates with our brain is much quicker than previously believed, because that connection relies on synapses more than it does on hormones. Over the past two decades, the gut-brain axis has been thoroughly documented. It started with a study in the early 1990s that showed that oral antibiotics can successfully treat a brain disorder called hepatic encephalopathy. Now, that was the 1990s. Fast forward to 2013, when research revealed that the bacteria that is in our guts, so again, we're not talking about a hunch this time. We're not talking about just a sneaky suspicion. We're talking about the actual physical belly. The bacteria that is in our guts actually influence, believe this or not, anxiety and depression. Research has revealed that the bacteria that is in our guts influence anxiety and depression. Even more recently, a review that was published very recently, just last month, August of 2018, made it clear that gut bacteria can influence mood and emotions, highlighting their connection with a range of psychiatric disorders. The gut bacteria. I'll be honest with you, I never would have thought that there could possibly be a connection. Bacteria in our gut that influences mood and emotions to the point where they can literally be connected with psychiatric disorders. That's heavy duty. Medical News Today also reported that changing the composition in our gut microbiota could enhance our resilience to stress, and that eating fiber promotes a more diverse range of gut bacteria, which in turn keeps our brains healthy and young for longer periods of time. The gut bacteria, ladies and gentlemen, it's just amazing to me that bacteria can be so helpful to us. Again, now check this out. And I know a lot of you are saying, but yeah, they've been telling us for some time now that we have good and bad bacteria. That's true. But I'm still amazed at the good that the good bacteria can do. Gut bacteria, keeping when it's, you know, coming into contact with fiber, and we're receiving a more diverse range of gut bacteria, helping to keep the brain healthy and young for longer periods of time. That is fascinating to me, amazing to me. Well, the study's unraveling bit by bit the gut's vast influence on the brain. But the exact process through which what some people are calling this second brain influences our mental states and our behavior remains unclear. Some scientists believe that the main way in which the gut communicates with the brain is through hormones that are released into the bloodstream. But there's a new study that is challenging that claim. Remember now, keep this locked into your memory bank. Some people are saying, have been saying for some time, scientists have been saying for some time, for years and years, that hormones are the channel through which our brain and our gut communicate. But now some people are saying, hold on, hold up, hold up, hold up. Researchers led by Dr. Diego Bohorquez, who's an assistant professor of medicine at Duke University School of Medicine, suggests that the conversation between the gut and the brain occurs much more quickly and is more direct than previously believed. Remember now, they're going to be letting us know the difference. Why, how this turned out to be so different. They were saying previously that the information traveled through hormones. But now, the Bohorquez and colleagues set out to examine the process through which the gut tells the brain that it's full, for example, and thereby curbing the appetite. So, they wanted to map, the researchers wanted to map the neural circuit. And so to that end, they modified a rabies virus so that it would become fluorescent and as a result, detectable. Then they administered the virus to mice. Bohorquez and his colleagues were able to trace the virus and watch it traverse the vagus nerve in order to reach the brainstem. Then the researchers grew laboratory cultures of sensory gut cells together with vagal neurons. Their experiment revealed that neurons moved toward the gut cells in an attempt to connect and fire signals. Finally, the team added sugar into the petri dish. That accelerated the neuronal firing rate to the point of milliseconds. Milliseconds, everybody. The results suggested to the researchers that glutamate could serve as a messenger that conveys the information from the gut to the brain. Scientists talk about appetite in terms of minutes to hours. But here, according to Dr. Bohorquez, we're talking about seconds. Given the rapidity with which the information is sent from the gut to the brain, according to the authors, we can actually speak of a gut sense in the same way that we talk about the sense of touch or smell. He said that really we think the findings are going to be the biological basis of a new sense, a sense that serves as the entry point for how the brain knows when the stomach is full of food and calories. It brings legitimacy to the idea of the gut feeling as a sixth sense. What do you think about that? The findings have a profound implication for our understanding of appetite. Dr. Bohorquez continues that many of the appetite suppressants that have been developed target slow-acting hormones, when instead they need to be targeting fast-acting synapses. That's why I wanted you to lock into your memory banks what I was sharing earlier about the hormones as the venue through which information travels from the gut to the brain. Now, synapses instead of hormones. Synapses are found to be the travel venue. And so they're saying that probably the reason that most appetite suppressants have failed is because they have targeted hormones, which act more rather slowly, instead of synapses, which act quickly. They need to be targeting that which moves faster so that that appetite suppressant will be able to kick in sooner and do what we want it to do. I'll be back in a few.